Hey, buddy. Hey, I know that you're probably preaching right now. I don't know what time. It's an hour ahead there, I know, but I just wanted to call and say that I love you, and I know that you're going through a lot right now. I know that things are kind of trying at the moment, but you've really been on my heart, and I just wanted to call and encourage you, and I'd love to get back in touch with you later today, and let's just check on each other and see how things are going with you, so I know how to be praying for you. Hope you're having a good morning, and may the Lord use you this morning. See you, buddy. Bye-bye. That is a good friend of mine who's a pastor, and he's going through a lot. Last weekend we talked about encouragement, and this weekend we are continuing to talk about encouragement. I've had a lot of people this week tell me that they've spent the majority of their week giving people the finger. And for those of you that weren't here last week, let me just kind of define this for you so that you understand what's going on. Last week, I gave everybody the permission to give the finger. And the finger is to be given when someone is being negative. And right now, those of you that weren't here last week are probably thinking, this sounds great. I have been waiting for permission to do this because I've already been doing it some. And the truth be known, that the finger that I gave permission to be given last weekend was this finger. It's the index finger for those listening online or whatever. And this is the negative symbol. This is, you know, you got the positive and the negative. And I had some interesting positives given to me last week, or, you know, people saying, hey, what about this for a positive? I was like, no, it's probably not going to work. We just need to stick with this for the negative. Positives, just do this. But the negative deal, this is your minus symbol, basically. And basically what I said last weekend is we were talking about encouragement in this passage of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians that right off the bat in verse 11, chapter 5, says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. And encouraging is one of those things that we just kind of leave out of life a lot of times. We're real good about, you know, just, you know, doing this a lot of times. And part of the reasoning behind what I gave this for last weekend, for us to be able to use with one another, is for us just to be able to realize a little more and more just how negative sometimes we can be and be a little more aware of that. Because nobody wants to get this, right? And so I know all week I've had a lot of people say, yeah, I've been giving this to my spouse a lot this week. Gave this to a guy in traffic earlier today. You know, I've had several people talk to me about this. I'm glad that this has really caught on and that everybody's enjoyed giving the finger. But as we've been talking about encouraging and talking about the need for us to do that, we gave several things last weekend. And I told you to be ready today, and I hope that you're ready, because we're actually going to do something here in a few minutes together as a church, and I hope you have your cell phone with you, because we're going to use those. But right before we do that, I just want to just rehash just real quickly. We're not going to go through the Scripture itself, but the following Scripture that we taught through last weekend, verses 12 through 15, basically listed off how we can go about encouraging. Now, I don't know that this is, you know, when Paul was writing this letter that he was like, you know, this is, you know, the only eight things that there is a way to encourage people. I don't know that Paul was really sitting around like that, nor did I know whether or not he talked in the voice used for like the monster truck rally commercials. But nonetheless, he gave us eight things, and I just want to list them out for you, and we're just going to leave them up on the screen for a minute here, because I want you just to kind of visualize them, and us them just kind of just set on you, and just think about them. And so the first thing is respect, or respect, depending on who you are. Respect those who are working hard, and specifically in this passage of Scripture, what Paul's talking about, those that are working hard in the ministry. Respecting those people that are working hard to do the ministry of the Lord. And that's a huge thing. The second thing is to live in peace. And I'm not going to, you know, expound a whole lot on this, because we talked through it last week, and some a lot more than others. And there was a couple that I really wish we could have gone more in. But anyway, the second was live in peace with each other. I think it speaks for itself. The third one is warn the idle. Warn the idle. And the deal with warning the idle is just kind of, as we see people that we see just maybe kind of, maybe their relationship, we just see their relationship with the Lord kind of slowing down and maybe just kind of coming to a halt. That we're just checking on those people, that we're just like, hey, are you doing okay? I just kind of see this in your life. I'm not trying to get on you or anything. I'm just kind of seeing this, and I don't want you to become idle. I don't want you to not be in the middle of something that God is doing and using. And so, you know, kind of the warning, the idle, just kind of helping people stay abreast of what's going on. Verse 4, you know, I hear a lot of people use the term staying abreast a whole lot lately. I don't know, I just thought about that. Verse 4, or the fourth thing, encourage the timid. Encourage the timid. And this is where we see people that maybe are just kind of hanging out, and maybe we're just kind of getting to realize, or maybe we're finding out, or we're seeking to find out if these people are maybe just shy. And they're just kind of timid, they're just kind of hanging out, and they're not really getting involved because of, you know, their personality or whatever. And just encouraging them, maybe, as this passage of Scripture was showing us, just to even not be afraid to get into ministry, that there's ways of ministry that are not, you know, up on a stage or out in front. We have so many people that do so much here that are behind the scenes. And then number 5 is help the weak. And I think that's evident just, you know, in us just trying to help people that are in times of need. And then the 6th thing is be patient with everyone. And that's a tough one, but it's there. And then the 7th one is make sure no one pays wrong for wrong. Make sure no one pays wrong for wrong. And part of this passage, in fact, if you just look at this passage of Scripture, when it says in verse 15, make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong. It's not just saying don't you not give a wrong for a wrong, but make sure nobody. He's saying help keep everybody in check. Help keep each other in check and kind of going, hey, dude, that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. You know, I love you, but man, you just shouldn't do that. And so it's a check and balance thing of just kind of us checking on each other constantly. And then the 8th thing is be kind to everyone. And obviously, we're seeing that, and that's almost kind of a theme through this passage. But those 8 things are back in that passage of Scripture, and we're going to kind of continue that passage of Scripture today. But I want to just leave those up there for just a minute, because I want you just to kind of set on that stuff. And I want you just to kind of think, last week we talked about our need to encourage. You get that now, okay? You are on board with me, at least hopefully you are, that we need to be about encouraging each other. And that we need to quit doing so much of this and be more about embracing one another and showing kindness to one another and love to one another. And this is tough because we got all kinds of people in our lives, and some of them, you know, hack us off, or some of them, you know, we've lost their trust, or, you know, whatever it is. There's all kinds of stuff, and then some of them are people that we just genuinely love, but maybe we just haven't been checking on them lately. And I had somebody after the message this past weekend that actually lost a loved one, and they found out Sunday morning before coming here, and just kind of the whole thing, and I, you know, it wasn't all on them or anything, but they lost this person due to something that happened as a choice of that person's self. And this person was just telling me, I feel so guilty because I was not checking on this person. And maybe if me and all of my friends and we had all been checking on this person, maybe this wouldn't have escalated to this. And maybe they wouldn't have lost their life. And this morning, as I look at this, I mean, when I look at this list and I see these things, I'm seeing names. I'm seeing people that are in my head that I'm going, you know what? I see somebody that's probably dealing with that, or I see somebody that's in that situation, or that's their personality, or, you know, I I'm thinking, you know what, I haven't talked to that person in a long time, I haven't checked on that person in a long time. So I told you to come ready. You know that we're going to be about encouraging, and you've got a list of things of how to even go about, and you know, I even talked about, you know, some of this stuff, being patient, just, and that means just kind of building friendships sometimes, maybe rebuilding a friendship sometimes, and in certain circumstances, with the timid or the idle or whatever, just kind of just digging deep, and just, you know, actually, like, really checking on people, and not just the whole, hey, how you doing? Oh, it's good. I'm good to see you. But, like, really just calling and saying, hey, I just really want to know what's going on with you. You've just been on my heart, and I love you, and I want to know how to pray for you. And so here's what we're going to do. For 5 minutes, as a part of the service, right now, we are going to call people. And that's why I ask you to have your cell phone with you. And so it doesn't matter if you're a church member here or not, because the deal is that we've all got people in our life that, you know, maybe we're just thinking right now, you know, I really need to check on that person. And this is what we do. we say to ourselves, you know what, I get so busy and I just never call. You've got 5 minutes. I'm giving you 5 minutes. You have nowhere to go. You've got a cell phone. We're going to play music. This isn't like, you know, we'll play tic-tac-toe during this time or something. No, this is like 5 minutes for you to not have an excuse to just call. Maybe one or two, if you can do three or four people, whatever. And truth is, you know, you're saying, well, you know, they're going to be in church. Well, I just called a pastor friend of mine. He's in church. But did you hear what I did? I said, hey, dude, I want to talk later today. And I really want to check on you. Because he's going through a ton of stuff right now. And just call folks and just say, hey, I just want to check on you. Please call me back later today. If I don't hear from you, I'll call you back. You're just really on my heart. And you don't have to make a spectacle out of it. And you don't have to make them feel guilty about something to be able to check on somebody and just say, hey, I just want to know how to pray for you. I want to encourage you. I want to build you up, as we studied last weekend. So 5 minutes, we got a countdown, and where's my phone? All right, 5 minutes, I'm going to mute myself so that while I'm talking, you don't have to listen to me, but I've got people I'm going to call, and we're going to spend 5 minutes, and we're going to come right back into this. I'm not done teaching. We're going to continue teaching, and it's going to be good, so just hang with us. 5 minutes, everybody got your phones out? Phones out, hang them high. This is the new lighter at a concert, if you didn't know. If you're out of touch and you hadn't been to a concert in a while, you can't smoke at them anymore, so hold them high. Let me see the cell phones. Everybody hold them high. We're getting there. We've already got a couple on the phone. They're on this. Okay, go ahead. If you don't have a phone, you can try to do this later today. I understand if you don't have a phone. Maybe you can borrow your friends after they make a phone call. Just ask some random person. Everybody's got free whatever all the time now anyway. If they don't, just say, I'll give you 50 cents. All right, on your mark, get set, go. All right, everybody get somebody. If you didn't get somebody, it's not limited to the 5 minutes during the church service today. If you're still on the phone with them, I don't care if you keep talking to them. That's cool too. Actually called a friend of mine on a mission trip, so that was pretty cool, and I got to check on him. Encouragement is one of those things that we think the world of, but we just don't think a lot about doing it. And I'm just telling you, and you know this, you know what it's like to be encouraged after you've gone through a dry spell. And I'll just tell you, I have watched this church 2.5 years we have been meeting this facility. I have watched this church of people, this group of people, which is the church, not the building, grow and minister to one another. And at the same time, so many folks get just tired of doing ministry, and typically when we get tired, we tend to stop checking on each other because we're thinking to ourselves, you know, I'm tired. Encouraging is one of those things that we cannot afford to ever stop doing. If you ever find yourself in a position where you completely do not ever, ever encourage someone, you had better take a step back. And you'd better spend some time with the Lord. Because I'm just telling you, if you ever find yourself in that spot, then you are going to find that you are not growing in your relationship with Christ. Encouragement is so important to who we are. The building up of the body is something that we've been called to and something that we've got to continually be doing. We saw some things of how to encourage, but I want to read the rest of this passage of Scripture for us this morning. And it's not going to be long, so I want you just to check this out with me. The rest of this passage of Scripture, starting in verse 16, same passage we taught from last week. Verse 16 says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, in this passage of Scripture right here, we have three things that are major players in our life as Christians. And I'll just tell you, the time that it would take to truthfully expound on what this one little passage means is so huge. And if you just look at it, I just verse 16, be joyful always. I want you to understand something, that encouraging people is not just a phone call. Encouraging people is not just like dropping by their house and taking them some cookies, although, hey, if you like to do that, then I love chocolate chip, okay? Just letting you know. And so, you know, encouragement is not just those things. It can be those things. And obviously going the extra mile in making sure that we communicate with someone is probably the best form of encouragement. But there may be one just a little bit better. And it's one that we don't think about. And we think, you know, it's because we live in this world and this mentality that, you know, it's my life. And I'll live it how I want to, and it doesn't affect anybody around me, and that's a lie. Because our lives do affect people around us, either positively or with a finger. That's right. And so, the deal that we need to understand is that not just are we to encourage people through verbal contact, through, you know, giving them a hug, shaking their hand, or any of that stuff. That stuff is great, and we need to do that stuff. But there is also a flip side to this. And the flip side of this is that how we live our life, how we handle everything that we do. And I want you to get this, because this is such a huge thing that I think so many of us, we know it, but we forget about it. But every little thing that God has given us, and everything we have is something that He's given us, whether it's a job, or whether it's a ministry, or whether it's a dog. Whatever it is, try to make my wife feel guilty here because we got rid of our dogs. So everything that we've got has been given to us by God. And for us to understand that what we do with each and every individual thing shows our relationship to Him. You see, a lot of people will say things like this. We know, Chris, I used to serve, or I used to do this thing or whatever, and I was really involved in church one time. But then, ... and then they've got, you know, this explanation to make themselves feel good about why they don't do this thing anymore. And this just goes with everything in our life. I have this job, but I don't like ... about the job. No. You see, God gave you that job, and He gave you that ministry. And for you to shun it for some reason that is of this world says to God, God, you are not the man in my life. These people are the people in my life. They mean more, and what they think means more to me than what you think and what you desire for me, because this is a part of our relationship with Him. This is worship. You see, we've Christians in general, the church has done this great job of, you know, we got worship services, and we come and we worship, and it's great, and I love it. And I'll just, you know, if you ever come backstage and want to hang out with me, I'm usually standing right there. I'm sitting in the chair studying the scripture right before I get out here. I'm one or the other, and usually if I'm standing, I'm jumping or something. I mean, it's just time for me and the Lord. That is worship time for me. But I'm just going to tell you something. We've got it ingrained in our head that worship is something that we go to, and it's something that we participate in once a week or a couple times a week, and that is not true. Worship is done with our life. And in this passage of Scripture, with these three things that He's given us right here, when He says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Those are three huge things. I mean, praying continually is tough enough. And it doesn't mean that you're always on your knees, but it means that you are constantly in communion with God, that maybe as you're riding in the truck, as I am down the road a lot of times, and I'm just kind of talking to God about what's going on in my heart. Sometimes it's not always good, or, you know, maybe something I'm struggling with or whatever, that I'm constantly just kind of keeping in touch with God. And I don't even have to pick up a cell phone to dial Him and call Him to do it. Be joyful always. That shows our heart, even in the worst circumstance. Got a bad job? How much would it speak of you if your job stinks to the face of this planet, that you still had joy beyond anything and everything that I've ever seen? There's a lady that I knew that I had one of her students, and she had a child that was going through an amazing amount of medical difficulties. And this was a mother that I was watching. And I got to tell you, this mother encouraged me more than just about anybody on this planet, and this is why. In the midst of their trial and tribulation, in the middle of this child being in and out of the hospital all the time, I saw this mother bring more joy to the face of this planet than most of the people that I'll ever come in contact with. And continually, she would come to me and wrap her arms around me and say, "Chris, are you doing okay? Are you doing all right? I just want to check on you. I thank the world of your ministry. I thank the world of you and your wife. Thank you so much for everything that you do." And I'm going, "You know what? I ought to be mowing your grass. I ought to be doing something for you. I ought to be trying to figure out a way to encourage you, and you are encouraging me." And how amazing is that? But you see, that's true joy. And I'm not saying she didn't have bad days. We all have bad days. But we don't let that rule who we are. I mean, what is that? If that's you and you're just like, "You know what, I can't help it," and that's just going to rule who I am, I question whether or not you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because my Savior overcomes anything like that. And it's the most amazing thing that in the middle of a storm, that we can stand there and that we can find that joy, and that we can pray continually. And as it goes on and says that we can give thanks in all circumstances. That's an amazing thing. And I'm just going to tell you, we all struggle with it. And I struggle with it every day. Somebody asked me how I was doing last night, one of the guys, and I just said, "I got to be honest with you, I don't know why, but I'm just kind of hacked off today. I don't know why. I got upset a couple times yesterday, just being human. And I let that side of me get to me in a couple of ways. And I just told him, I said, "I got no reason to be acting like that. Got no reason to be thinking that way or to be in that mood. How blessed am I to know Christ as my Savior? How blessed am I for so many other reasons?" You see, it's something that we will constantly be striving for. I don't want you to feel like that you're going to at some point come to this level where you feel like you have arrived in Christianity. That's not it. There's no level of arrival when it comes to striving after what God has called us to do. And in this passage of Scripture, it's just simple. It's be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In verse 19, it goes on, and I'll just be honest with you, we don't have time for me to really expound on what all of these passages mean, but I'm going to kind of give you the basic overview of them right here together. It says in verse 19, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt." And I will teach on this before long. "Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it." In this passage of Scripture, Paul is writing out to us. He's given us this list. And he said, if you want to encourage folks, this is what you need to look for. And we had the list. But then he goes further and he gives us this passage of Scripture. And in this passage of Scripture, Paul is saying, guess what? That was important. There was the list. That was just kind of a helpful, hey, here's a little helpful, you know, 8 ways to go about encouraging your friend. But he goes on, and with the rest of this passage, he is speaking of our lives of worship. And our worship comes in context when we're dealing with the stuff of life, and how we deal with it either glorifies God or it shows a different side of us that is a sinful side. And Paul is wanting us to get this today because, you see, just like that lady that I just told you about just a minute ago, in the middle of her storm, in the middle of the stuff she was going through, she had the joy. She was still giving thanks for a circumstance. She would have told you, I am thankful that God has allowed me to be the mother of this child that is in and out of the hospital. She would find joy in things like that. And as she was doing that, I was seeing a life of worship. Real worship. Not fake stuff. Not something conjured up, you know, in a moment. But a life lived for the glory of God. And that's what our life is supposed to be about. We exist for the glory of God. We exist for Him to spread His arms and to show off His muscles. For Him to flex them, for the entire universe to see that in the moment of a trial, in the moment of a storm, that no matter what, we, because we have Christ, we can overcome. And not only can we do it, but we can do it thankfully, prayerfully, and joyfully. That's a life of worship. Brought along a little science experiment here this morning. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you. Figured out if you take the top off the dough, that it pretty much just starts coming out on its own, as it's been doing now for about an hour and a half. And that's some dough. And I'm going to make a pizza for us this morning. I hope it's okay. Y'all hungry? You will be by the time I get done with this, I guarantee you. You think talking about Mexican food will get you going? Just wait till I cook a pizza in front of you. And in this little thing here, you know, we've got the dough, and I get the privilege of hanging out at the pizza joint every once in a while and gotten to know the owners of a couple pizza places, and man, they're just incredible. It's fun watching them do this. And I'm clueless as to what I'm doing right now, just in case you were wondering. And I've seen them. I'm not going to toss it for you. Might toss the pan. There you go. But basically here we've got a pizza. And you know, with your pizza, you got to have a little sauce. Now that I got that dough stuff all over my fingers, I'm not sure I'm going to get that. There we go. And so we got a little sauce. I actually like extra sauce. So, you know, hey, that's good. I can't see the dough anymore. And those of you that know me know that I really do like extra sauce. That's just my thing, and it always has been. I could eat this stuff when I was a kid. My parents had to keep me out of the cabinet. I could eat just spoonfuls of it. I don't know why. Jacked up kid. And so we've got the dough, and then we've got, you know, the cheese here, if I can get this open. And the deal with the cheese is, of course, you want a lot of it, and you want to kind of spread it over all over the thing. But I think what's important about understanding how to make a pizza is that you don't just make a pizza based off of toppings. You know what I'm saying? There's an underlying foundation to a pizza. And as many toppings as you may put on your pizza, the underlying foundation is what? The dough, the crust, sure. Supposed to be dough. So you've got the dough, and then you've got the sauce, and then you've got cheese, and you've got toppings, and, you know, I just prefer pepperoni because, hey, that just seems like a, you know, I'm a simple, plain guy. Most of you know that. I don't eat anything but ketchup most days. If it's got tomatoes in it, I'm all about it. And so, you know, we've got here what looks to be a really good pizza, doesn't it? It looks like a pretty good pizza. Well, you know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, you know, what would it be like to make a pizza? What would it be like to make a pizza that was only, you know, cheese and pepperoni? What would that pizza be like? And let's go ahead and throw the sauce in. We'll say, we'll put some sauce on a pan, and then we'll throw some cheese on it, and then we'll throw some pepperonis on it. And then the fun part would be after you slice that thing up, trying to eat it. Because why? Because it's missing the crust. It's missing the dough. And I think what's happened for a lot of us in our life and in our relationships is that we're kind of walking around in life and we're just kind of like, hey, how you doing? Oh, good. You know, here's another little something there for you. Oh, good. Good to see you. How you doing? Okay, good. Oh, you got something going on? Well, I'll tell you what, let's talk about that later. And we've become topping people. We've become people that have ceased to live a real life. Our life of pizza, a topping pizza, this pizza where we just go to church on Sundays and that's our worship, is fake. It's fake worship. Because it's not a switch that we turn on and off. It's not something we just go like, well, we walked in the door. Man, they hit that purple light. I love it when they hit that purple light. Isn't that nice? You know, but we've got this mentality. Oh, I love that song. That's a great song. I love this passage of Scripture. God speaks to it through me to it every single time. And we've got no foundation because our life is lacking the dough. And because our life begins to lack the dough and we're just throwing toppings around, what winds up happening is we cease to do this very thing that in this passage of Scripture, verse 11 that we taught from last week says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. We're not building foundations in other people's lives because we've not built one in our own. And we're trying to make fake worship be the thing that's going to carry us and encouraging other people. But that's not the case. And it's not going to work. Because God has called us through and through. And if you look at this passage of Scripture where it says, avoid every kind of evil, may God Himself, verse 23, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul is saying this, he's saying, hey, it's the whole thing or it's nothing. And this morning, that's just the question. Are you the whole thing? Are you trying to make it work weekend to weekend? Are you trying to make it work home team to home team? Because our relationship with Christ should come through in everything that we do, in every situation that we come into, in everything that happens in our life. People should see our worship. And the important thing at the moment with this passage of Scripture for us to understand is that it too is a huge part of our ability to encourage others. You see, that lady that I told you with the kid could have never come to me and ever encouraged me, and she would have still encouraged me more than a lot of people that had just come and shaken my hand or given me a hug and said, I love you, I just appreciate you, or whatever. Because I saw in her a life of worship despite anything she ever said to me. And she was an encouragement to everybody around her while she was going through that. And this morning, I'm just kind of throwing out the gauntlet of what do people see when they see you? What do people see when they see you at work, see you at play, see you at church? Do they see you worship? Do they see you loving God with all of your heart? Do they see joy? Do they see you praying continually? Do they see you giving thanks in the middle of a storm of life? Because that's what God has called us to do. And in doing so, it's important for us to understand that our ability to worship God with our life affects our ability to impact and encourage everybody that God has placed around us. And I think that's worth noting today. Because we love those people, and we do love God. And how big is it for us just to get our worship impacting those people, for them to be drawn closer to God, because we love Him so much? Let's not forget them. Let's not forget our Lord and Savior. Let's pray together. God, I just thank You so much for allowing us to get to just study your word this morning. And God, I pray, Lord, that we would not forget you and who you are. God, I pray, Lord, that our life would be a life of worship. And I pray, Lord, that we would not forget you and that we would not forget the people that you've called us to minister to. God, we love you. And we just pray that that would come out in our lives, not just at church, but that in our lives, people would get our love for you, our devotion for you, our thankfulness towards you for all that you have done for us. God, how thankful we are. How thankful we are as your church. How thankful we are that we've been able to be in a public school for 2.5 years. God, you've blessed us so much. And it's all for your glory. You did it. In your name I pray.